Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. For you have heard my vows, O God. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Increase the days of the king's life, his years for my generation. May he be enthroned in God's presence forever. Appoint your love and faithfulness to protect him. Then I will ever sing praise to your name and fulfill my vows day after day. This is the word of God for the people of God. The Rock of Ages. I asked Dave to give us songs that we could sing this morning about that Rock of Ages, and I think he did a wonderful job. Thank you very much for that. In 1776 was the year the United States of America was born. It was also the year one of the favorite hymns of all times was born. And that hymn was the Rock of Ages. The author was an Englishman named Augustus Toplady. He wrote 133 psalms and hymns, but they were all forgotten. This one, however, lives on, and it gives an image of Jesus that people need. Toplady died at the age of 38, but he was secure in Jesus, and his hymn had been a favorite at funerals ever since. It reminds us that through life, it reminds us as though life is insecure, but it also reminds us that Jesus is not. He is the Rock of Ages. Toplady had his last words. He said, "My prayers are all converted to praise." Because Toplady felt secure, because he had built his life on that solid rock. His hymn has been translated into almost every known language. Well, what is surprising is that people know this hymn more than they know the Bible reference that gave Toplady the idea. It's really rather shocking how often God and Jesus are called the rock in the Bible. It has become one of the major names of God. There are so many references to the God as the rock in the Bible, that rather than verbalize every one of them this morning, we'd be here forever. I asked Holly to put in the bulletin the list of just a few of the scriptures that I have referred to God, that has referred to God as the rock in one way or another. I challenge you when you go home to look these scriptures up and refamiliarize yourself with the Rock of Ages. There are many others, but these ought to be sufficient to impress us that the rock was a favorite image of God in the Old Testament and of Jesus in the New Testament. Rocks are one of the most valuable resources in the world. You ever think of the rock as being a valuable resource? Our lives are more dependent upon rocks than we realize. Let me give you a few examples. The Great Wall of China could never have been built without rocks. The Great Pyramids of Egypt could never have been built without rocks. The Parthenon of Greece could never have been built without rocks. The Aztec temples of the sun, the Stonehenge in England. You see, the rock is a symbol of stability. But that is why when men build something to last, they use rocks or stones. There are endless parallels between men's use of rocks and stones, and endless parallels about Jesus being the rock of ages. So if you study the history of roads, you will discover that those that have lasted are made of rock. The old Roman roads of the New Testament days are still being used. Did you know that? They are still being used because they were built of rocks. Thousands of years these roads have lasted. The old cobblestone roads of early America are still being used and in place where they were put originally. Our modern superhighways are built with a foundation of various sizes of rocks. And so is the Bedford Railroad tracks. You see what I'm trying to do here? I'm trying to emphasize to you how important rocks are, how endless they are, and how nothing could last or stand for thousands of years without rocks, and then relate that to Jesus Christ, the rock of ages. Because of the importance of rocks, there are over 3,000 commercial crushed rock plants in the United States. We see them today in road construction. They've got smart enough to portabilize these plants and haul them out and set them in between the medians and the concrete and the rocks that they tear up. They run through this crushing plant there on site and re-crush them and use them for the new roadbed. Why do they do that? Because they know that they are endless. They know that they make the best, strongest foundation. And that's what I'm saying here this morning, that Jesus Christ, the rock of ages, is the best and strongest foundation that a Christian can have as they walk with Christ throughout their lives. If you go to our capital, our country, all of these buildings in Washington, D.C. are made of rock or sandstone. Or even marble, which is, I guess, a form of a rock. All of its major buildings and monuments are made that way. Here's something interesting. In the book of Revelations, when God revealed the eternal city where we will dwell forever, it is a city of such strength and endurance that supersedes anything prior. The walls, according to Revelations, will be 200 feet thick, made of rocks. Almost all the treasures of this world are hidden in rocks. There's a song that we did not sing this morning, but it's a great song. It talks about being in the cleft of the rock, referring to Jesus Christ. Almost all the treasures are hidden in these rocks. Rocks are part of the everyday environment of Bible people. They were everywhere. For those of us that have been lucky enough to go to the Holy Land, I can attest to that. I think a couple of weeks ago, maybe it was last week, I referred to the city of Nazareth where Jesus came from and went back to, and they wanted to throw him over a cliff to kill him. If they had, it would have killed him. There are some of the biggest rocks you've ever seen on this cliff. All of the Holy Land, the whole world that Jesus knew at the time when he was man and walked this earth, knows about the rocks. They were used for building. They were used for grinding. They were used for weapons. Not only did man use rocks to build altars to God, but God used rocks to give his laws to man. I bring your attention to Moses. The Ten Commandments were inscribed on a stone. When God chooses a man to build his kingdom, he chooses a rock-like man. The rabbi said of this of Abraham. When God looked down on Abraham, he said, I have found a rock on which I can build the world. For this reason, he called Abraham a rock. God knew that he could use Abraham to build the world because he related Abraham's knowledge, demeanor, his dedication to God was like a rock. In the interest that Jesus shows Peter to be the leader of 12, they were the foundation of his church. Peter, who was more often like quicksand, was made a rock that Jesus could build on. We remember the story of Peter. How he was such a wuss. He couldn't do what God asked him to do. But the rock of ages interfered with Peter and made him strong to where he could go ahead of crowds and preach the word and convert thousands and thousands of people to Christ. Because the rock of ages made Peter and his partners rocks. Petrology is the science of rocks. These are people that have degrees that all they do is study rocks. Now, to me, a rock is a rock. But evidently, there's more to it. A specialist is called a There you go. All Christians need to be petrologists who specialize in the study of the Rock of Ages. Did you ever make that connection? There are people, like I mentioned, just study a rock. But then there are people that study the Rock of Ages. And that's what we are to be. We are to spend our walk in Christ as petrologists, studying Jesus Christ, his life, his words, his commands, all of the things that he gave us. We need to spend our time renewing ourselves within these words, because he is the Rock of Ages. Jesus said the foolish man builds on the sand while the wise man builds on the rock. Some places we call certain people pillars of the church because they can be counted on. They are people within the church, within the Christian family, that act as pillars that hold up the church so it can grow in the love of Christ. These people are the rocks on which any church stands. Without such rocks, the foundation of any church will crumble. The rock is firm and not fickle. The rock is stable and not sinking. The rock is permanent and not passing. The rock is fixed and not fluctuating. The rock is established and not erratic. It is constant and not changing. These are some of the characteristics of a rock, and these are characteristics of a Christian who is Christ-like, a person who identifies as a Christian, a person who lives their life as a Christian, a person who is steady, a person that does not fluctuate, is not erratic, a person that can be called on, that is always there. I mentioned in our prayer this morning, I was going down the road just a couple days ago, and there was a man laying alongside the road, and he was obviously in trouble. So I made a quick U-turn and went back. And I said, "Are you okay?" And he says, "No." I said, "What can I help you with?" He said, "I got beat up this morning or whenever it was, by some gangs over in Palmer Park." And he says, "I need to get to the hospital, but I don't have enough money for a bus ride." He needed a quarter. I gave him a dollar. Now, I'm no big hero because I gave him a dollar because I didn't have a quarter. But you see my point? About that time, the fire department came and they helped him. But you see what I'm trying to say is that's what Christians do. How many times have you seen somebody in distress and just went buzzing right on by? That's not being a rock. That's not being Christ-like. We need to be there constantly for those that reach out to us, and we need to respond accordingly. Today I see that the adventures of the Christian life is also one that revolves around the rock that is higher than the rock of my salvation. People put their trust in so many rocks that are not the rock of ages. I hope after this morning, when you see a rock, you'll think of it a little bit different than you did yesterday. It's my hope that you will relate that rock that you see to the rock of ages. Think of diamonds. Diamonds represent the precious stones of the world. But they will not put anyone in good stead. When Jesus comes and you stand before Jesus Christ, the rock of ages, he's not going to ask you about diamonds. He's going to look and see if you're in that book of life. He's going to look and see if the paragraph below your name tells him about how you lived a Christ-like life. How you used him, the rock of ages, in all of these areas that I mentioned earlier. Here's a beautiful example. For 180 years ago, the Queen of the Hawaiian Islands became a Christian. Because of her stand on the rock of Jesus, she could defy the superstitions of her people. And that resulted in thousands of Hawaiians accepting Jesus as their Savior. She was saying this, that this rock is not like our rock. She led them to the rock that was higher than her, and one that was higher than all other rocks. We find this theme in many hymns and songs. We sang some of them this morning. The Bible proclaims it over and over. Hymnology sings it over and over. Jesus is the rock. He is the most precious rock in the universe for strength, value, and durability. Another beautiful example. Jesus was put in a rock tomb. I stood in that tomb. And when I say rock, I'm telling you, this was a rock. This rock was as big as this church sanctuary. And somebody had carved it out by hand to make a tomb for him and his family, and allow Jesus Christ's body to be laid in that tomb. And what did they do? They rolled a rock in front of the entrance. The rock is still there. It's shaped like a wheel. And they carved out of the rock in the ground a track for this wheel to be rolled in front of the entrance of the tomb. And then they were happy. We got him. We got him exactly where he is. Exactly where we want him. We're not going to allow anybody to come in and steal that body and proclaim something that is false. So they put two guards there. And even then, Even a rock as big as this church, even a wheel, I think it was probably 8 feet in diameter, that rolled in front of the entrance, could not contain the Rock of Ages.
Amen.
Thank you. Because that rock that his body laid in was nothing compared to Jesus Christ. And he walked out of that tomb and went on to display him and himself as the Rock of Ages, leaving instruction, talking to the people. Thousands were confirmed because that Rock of Ages overtook a boulder. He could not be confined. Bruce Larson, in his book, writes this: I once heard God speak in a field in Wisconsin. I was with my longtime friend Lloyd Ogilvy, and we were just out of seminary, and we were just starting our ministry. We built a pile of rocks in that field and made a covenant with the Lord. Our prayer went something like this: Lord, we want to be your people. We pray you will use us to build your church. Bruce went on to write, I'm sure I could never find that place today. But in my mind, those stones are still remembered, and that covenant is genuine. We can only go back in memory to that holy place where God did business with us. You see, this morning I want to say rocks can always be relevant to the spiritual life if we focus on the ways of the Rock of Ages. These rocks can remind us of the Rock of Ages. Just a little footnote. I was up to the cabin this week. We have an area there that we had kind of dug out and kind of left a kind of a sand wall there. And we've been collecting rocks to make a stone wall as a retainer. Okay? When I got up there Thursday morning, and I think it was maybe Friday afternoon, I was going over my sermon and sitting on the porch and looking at this stone wall. I will never see this stone wall different than I did Friday afternoon, because I can relate. Some of these rocks were big. We had to move with the tractor front end loader. I can always relate to the Rock of Ages. And it is easier for me to do that today in my walk with Christ, in the works that he has asked me to do while here on earth, knowing that the Rock of Ages is steady, constant, and cannot be overtaken. I challenge you to go away this morning with those same thoughts. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Posing hymn.